I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I'm really delighted to have back on the show one of the most helpful guests we've ever had and very, very popular guy because of his great knowledge and his very sort of generous sharing as well. And that man is Greg Mercer of Jungle Scout fame. Greg, welcome back.
Michael, thank you for having me back. It is always a blast to chat with you, and I'm excited to be here.
Fantastic. So, absolutely. I love this American can-do thing, you know, so everyone's like always stoked to do stuff and yeah, it's a blast. And like, British people are like, hello, how are you? Yes, we're worse. That's the best I guess. So nice to have that American can-do.
Great.
It's sunny today, but it's really cold and miserable generally. So January is the time we need a boost. So you're the man to give that. So first of all, Greg, a lot of people obviously have heard of you and many of us use Jungle Scout. And for a lot of people who use Jungle Scout, haven't connected up the fact that Greg Mercer is the man who started it all off. So for those of us who haven't come across you, can you just give a sort of potted history of you and how you came to be selling on Amazon and developing all these wonderful tools?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually I started out, I went to a university to be a civil engineer. I started that path. I didn't like it. I worked for this corporate company. It wasn't fulfilling. So I started selling on Amazon to like break free of my day job. So I started as a side hustle. I was able to build it up enough to quit my day job and just focus selling on FBA. I did that full time for I think like 2 years. And then one of the biggest pain points that I had with like growing my FBA business was not knowing which products to add. So, you know, for any of those listeners who are selling on Amazon, you probably know like the easiest way to scale one of these FBA businesses is just to add more SKUs. Like it's difficult to get like individual products selling a lot more, but if you want to grow, you just need more products. So you can just like rinse and repeat. So my problem was I just didn't quite know like which products to add. You know, I had like a limited amount of cash I could spend on new products. So I really wanted the ones I could get like the maximum amount of ROI on to, you know, help me to continue to grow this business. So that's how Jungle Scout was born. I kind of took my data-driven mind, like the data geek in me from my entrepreneur or my engineering days. I really like, you know, crunched down all those numbers. I built this software, and then it was originally actually just built in like a pretty like janky form, just for myself to use. And we ended up refining it and then selling it to the public as well. And I guess the rest is kind of history. So then where I'm at today, I actually still sell on Amazon. I still actually just I've released a few new products these past few months, as well as I'm working on Jungle Scout. And then Jungle Scout has actually expanded into a suite of tools for Amazon sellers. So we have Jungle Scout, which is the product research tool. We have JumpSend, which is a deal site to help you get additional sales, as well as an email follow-up sequence. We also have Splitly, which is an A/B testing tool for Amazon sellers, as well as Fetcher, which is profit analytics, calculates how much money you're really making after refunds and promos and PPC and all those numbers that Amazon likes to hide from you. So yeah, that's where I'm at today.
Fantastic. Well, I know we're going to have some of your colleagues in from Fetcher and Splitly at future date, which I'm really looking forward to getting deep into those, because I think, as exactly like you say, there's an awful lot of figures that Amazon hides from us, and that can get pretty complex. Trying to work out how much profit you can make can be a full-time job. I remember once I was at a meetup of fellow Amazon sellers, and one of the guys had literally been up since 4 a.m. doing his accounts, trying to work out what the hell his profit was. He literally had a nosebleed in front of us because of the stress induced by it. I mean, it was literally giving him a nosebleed. So it's certainly
something. Yeah, we need to tell him about Fetcher.
That could be the answer to some prayers, I can tell you. But so backing up though, so let's talk right about the one thing which bugs everybody when they're starting out, and it still bugs me, which is finding products to sell. So what is how the hell do you start? So what is your, asking the dumbest questions are normally I find the ones that are still the ones that bug me. What is your very first starting point to find a new product line on Amazon?
Yeah, really good question. And I'm sure a lot of listeners shared the same pain point. You know, it's like they know how good of an opportunity selling on Amazon is. It's just like, what the heck do I sell, right? So if we just back up a little bit, maybe look at it from a 10,000 foot view, the best products to sell on Amazon are ones where there's existing demand. This means that Amazon shoppers are already going to Amazon.com or .co.uk, typing in what they want and looking for it, okay? There's already people trying to buy this product on Amazon. We don't have to try to create this demand. It already exists, okay? We just want to give the people what they want. So we want something that already has existing demand. We want something that's relatively low competition, all right? Those are like the two main things. We want something that has good margins. We don't want to only be making 3% margin on this product that we after we put in all the work. So those would be the main things. And then other, I guess they're important, but maybe like smaller things I maybe look at a little bit later is like to make sure they don't infringe on like any patents, to make sure they don't need to be like licensed. So like a lot of people don't think about that one, but like you can't sell something with like your favorite sports team on it or like Mickey Mouse on it or whatever else, because those are like those are licensed trademarks, you know, those are trademarks that you can't use without them being licensed. And like a Chinese factory will gladly print Mickey Mouse on something for you. However, like you're infringing on Disney's trademark when you do that, right? So that's important. I personally try to stay away from anything that I think could potentially be like high liability. So if it's like likely that people can hurt themselves with this item, I personally like to stay away from it. And then one last one is items that are smaller or lighter weight are generally just kind of all around like less headaches. Like they're easier to ship. You don't have to worry about oversized storage limits, which usually start out fairly small. So those are kind of like the main things I look at. I want existing demand, not too much competition, good margins, no legal issues, and then smaller, lighter, simpler items are generally easier or better. So that's what I'm looking for when I'm looking at a product, right? So if you're listening to this, you're probably thinking, okay, great, like I understand that. That all makes sense. But like, so where do I go from here? Like, how do I find that product? You know, of course, like Jungle Scout was invented to kind of solve that pain point to be able to do this for you. But real quick, I can just talk about like the manual way if you, you know, because I don't want to try to sit here and sell Jungle Scout to you. The manual way, some areas you can look for ideas would be like the Amazon bestsellers page. That's a good spot to see like what's selling well. You can get ideas from maybe like Pinterest, like what's being pinned a lot. Oftentimes you can just get ideas by hanging out like in big cities where trends usually like start first. You know, so probably like in London, you know, you'd see new trends first there than out in the countryside, right? So those would be like all some good places, right? So then you can come up with a list of product ideas. And then if you go to if you go to Amazon, there's actually a totally free way to find out how well any product sells. And that's you can click on a listing. You can look at the best sellers rank on that listing. Like 99% of Amazon listings have them. You'll scroll down, it's under the product details section. And then if you go to junglescout.com/estimator, it's a totally free tool. You don't have to put in your email address or anything. You can enter that best sellers rank and it will give you an estimated amount of units that that product sells on a monthly basis. So right away, then you can understand how much demand there is for that product.
Great. Okay. Well, so that's quite a lot to take in. So
yeah,
let's break that down a little bit for people who are starting out. And also one of the things that strikes me, I mean, it's the same with anyone who's mastered any area. My background's a musician. In fact, my partner's practicing the piano as we speak. The really sharp eared amongst you might just be able to hear that. But again, it comes down to basics and getting the basics mastered rather than trying to get too clever. So let's break it back down. So I'm going to come back on the patents and license question because I think that's an important one that's not easy to answer. But let's first of all look at demand. When you say you want good demand and, you know, moderate or, you know, low competition, can you define that in some way? Can you put some numbers on that? And how do you find that out?
Absolutely. So let's start with demand. So demand, like we said, we want to look for products that are already selling well on Amazon. Okay. I see like a beginner mistake sometimes that they just kind of like know in their gut that this product is going to sell well if it gets on Amazon. And a small percentage of the time you might be right, but more often than not, people are wrong. It's much safer and much less risky to just sell what's already selling well on Amazon. These people are already buying it, all right? So when I say existing demand, I want to see like a few thousand units every month. So let's just say 2,000 units every month already being sold on Amazon. Okay. So the way I can figure that out, I can click. So let's use an example. I'm drinking coffee right now. So we'll say coffee cup. So if I search coffee cup on Amazon, all right, I click on like the top 10 listings or however many listings are relevant. So maybe there's 8 listings there that are all selling coffee cups. I can click on each one of those listings. This is if you don't have Jungle Scout. You can click on each of those listings. You can go down. You can look in the product details and look at the best sellers rank. And this is a number that Amazon gives us that is very helpful for us because this tells us how well this product's selling. All right. So the best sellers rank by itself is very difficult to understand what that means. It's going to be a number like 18,354. However, what we've done at Jungle Scout is we've created algorithms to estimate how many units are being sold every month based off that number. So these change on a daily or a weekly basis. We have a full-time data scientist who's always updating these. So don't try to do it yourself. Just plug it into our free tool. So just take the best sellers rank, junglescout.com/estimator. You can plug the number in there, and then you know how many units are being sold every month. Okay.
So okay. So before we move on.
I was going to say, if you add those up, that's what we're looking for, like the total demand. If I added up like those top 8 listings or top 10 listings. So like the niche as a whole has good demand.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt there, Greg. One question that's come up for quite a lot of people, and I haven't personally found this, I have to say, is that they find, I just want to ask about the number of units per month question. I've got two questions around that seem to come up quite a lot. First of all, let's just deal with Jungle Scout versus other sources of data. So if people sell their own products, then I guess they have pretty reliable data themselves. Quite a lot of people come to me and say that they find there's sometimes a bit of a mismatch between what Jungle Scout is estimating as the number of units sold per month on their particular product and the figures they're seeing themselves. Now, obviously, they haven't really given me enough information to make any judgment on that, but I wanted to ask you about that and what that might indicate, or, you know, how, you know, what's that about and what's your solution?
Yeah, this is a really good question. I'm glad you asked it. So real quick, let's talk about how we derive these algorithms to estimate the sales. What we do is we collect in each particular category, depending on the category, between like 200 to 500,000 data points every month for a particular category. And this is the relationship between unit sales, so sales for that day compared to what the rank was on that day, okay? We graph them, and then we there's a little bit more like some data cleaning and stuff, but then we run a regression analysis, and we come up with like a line of best fit to estimate the sales based off the rank. Okay, so that's what we do. You know, we have a data scientist that's always doing this, always refining them. The best sellers rank, it changes on like an hourly basis. Okay. So what the best sellers rank is like the top selling product in that category. It'll be ranked number one. That's will be its best selling rank. The 10th best selling product will be number 10 and so on. Okay. So when we estimate sales, you have to keep in mind that you can think about it like this. So if the product continues to sell as well or as poorly as it has been for, we'll say, the past couple of days, this is how many units it would sell in a month, all right? So if your product, let's say, for instance, a week ago was selling 10 units a day, but this week it's only selling one unit, you know, this week it's only been selling one unit a day, Jungle Scout's going to estimate that it's going to be doing more like the one unit a day, okay? So maybe it would say like 30 units a month, maybe a little, maybe 40 units a month. So I think that's where like a lot of people are like, wait a second, it's a little bit lower or a little bit higher or whatever, you know, because last week I was selling 5 a day, this week only selling 1 a day. So this month I'm going to sell 60, but Jungle Scout's only selling me 30. So that's kind of like how it works. It's the best that we can do based off the information that Amazon gives us. They're very secretive about this data, you know? Yeah, when it comes down to it, you know, a lot of people say like, okay, like for my product, it was 10% low. So, you know, you should take all Jungle Scout estimates and remove 10%. It's like, well, that's actually not true. Like if you look at our regression analysis, there's some points that are below the line. There's some points above the line. we're taking the average of hundreds of thousands of products in that particular category. So your one product, it may not fall exactly on that line, but if you average the whole category, it is, you know, that is like the median. So it's yeah. like the best we, you know, the best the seller is going to be able to get off the data that Amazon gives us.
Great. Thank you for explaining that. And I think what's important is that people put, I think this is one of those things about tools. People put too much faith in tools. I mean, for example, I'm a really poor visual artist. So you could give me the best paintbrush and the best paints and the best canvas in the world, but I'd still produce a gobbledygook picture. So I think it's very important to understand your tools. And I think what you've just said is you know, explains things to me as well. The fact that it basically the BSR is what you base it off, because that is the most reliable statistic. However, or rather data input basically, but it sort of goes up and down sometimes like a yo-yo, and therefore you're going to see variation. So presumably if it's based on 2 or 3 days data, then you should check that number, or even whether it's the BSR or the Jungle Scout sort of interpretation of it, once a week for a couple of weeks, if you're serious about a product. Would that be a solution, for example?
Yeah, you can do that. Absolutely.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. One thing that I was going to add in is just say, the other thing about it, like you said, people kind of get like caught up a little bit too much in the tools. So keep in mind, like, this is still an estimate. Like, the reason we're looking at these sales estimates is to understand, like, okay, does this product sell 10 a month, or is it 100 a month, or is it 1,000 a month? You know? And it's definitely plenty accurate enough to let you know, like, ballpark what range, you know, of this product selling. Like, maybe Jungle Scout will estimate 900 units a month. In reality, it might be 800 or it might be 1,000, but you know it's in that range, right? Or Jungle Scout might estimate 50 units a month. In reality, it might be 40 or 65, but you know like what range we're talking about there, which helps you with forecasting and helps you understand if there is good demand in there.
Yeah, so as you say, it's a tool which is designed to help you pick products and or maybe to forecast demand for your own sort of category, even when you're selling. But that's what it is. It's not a tool for actually analyzing what's going on in reality. Because I mean, once you're selling a product, in any case, you get your own figures, right? So now yeah. I just want to pick up on one other thing, which is the idea of 2,000 units a month. Because as we all know, if you've sold for more than a year on Amazon, you know that, you know, I've got a product where, for example, on Cyber Monday, it sold 103 units. I seem to remember it's now the same product is now selling about 4 or 5 units a day. So obviously the per month idea is a bit of a sort of fiction / average. So how do you try and account for that, particularly relevant at this time of year when the sales volumes across the board tend to be low, unless it's, you know, very specific products like health related products, when everyone realizes they've got fat over Christmas and have a health kick. But apart from that, how do you deal with that whole thing when you're trying to forecast demand for a product?
Yeah, so this is difficult, right? One tool that really helps me out quite a bit is Google Trends. So Google Trends will show you how a particular search term has trended. Now keep in mind, this is on Google, over the years and seasons, okay? And this is like a fairly good gauge on how items are going to trend on Amazon as well. So for example, with my a lot of people know I did a case study. I'm selling like bamboo and marshmallow sticks publicly on Amazon. They're called Jungle Sticks. And if you look at Google Trends, we actually have a year's worth of data now. And if you look at Google Trends, it actually matches up really nicely with how the seasonality has gone for our particular marshmallow sticks. So like December to February, or I think maybe January to February is the slowest time. Middle of the summer, like July and August, those are like the highest times. And if you look back at our sales for the past year, that actually matches up. So so that's a good indicator to help you understand, like, okay, is this a low season right now, or is it a high season? Kind of like what you said about the health stuff. Right now, if I were to look at yoga mat on Google Trends, I'm sure it'd be peaked like right after New Year's, you know? So that helps. Regarding like the 2,000 units per month, that's a really good question. So the reason I use like 2,000 or 3,000 units a month, like total demand, is because I found people didn't like the answer, like, it depends, right? That's too arbitrary, especially if you're a beginner. Like, wait a second, it depends. Does that mean 100 units a month or 10,000 units a month? So at the end of the day, we're really looking for something that has like the biggest spread between demand and competition. We want like the lowest amount of competition with the highest amount of demand. Just most beginners, they need like some hard numbers to actually go off of instead of just saying like, okay, it depends. Like you just want lots of demand, little competition. That's too arbitrary for someone like starting out. So like 2,000 units per month is a really good like point to start on. You know, like look for a niche that's already selling 2,000 units total, you know, between all the listings like per month. That's somewhere really good to like get you started, and then you can kind of go from there.
Great. So now if you wanted to take the idea of 2,000 units a month with, say, the product that I was selling in December that did whatever 1,200 units in 6 weeks and is looking like it's on track to do, I don't know, 300 units maybe in January. So the demand has sort of dropped to a third or a quarter of the pre-Christmas demand. So would I then take the January and would I take the January figures and kind of look at Google Trends and go, well, I could probably get this to be double in the normal months, say February, March, April, May. My experience is, as you'd expect, you know, it goes in December, it goes completely nuts, and then it drops off a cliff in January, and then it sort of steadies back out the rest of the year. And I don't know if that's typical for every single product, but the ones that I've sold. So would you try and take account of that when you're forecasting? If you're trying to sell something, say, in April, and you're looking at your research now and going to order it and do your negotiation and then get it on a boat or air, depend what you want to do.
Yeah, so I'll answer this as if I was a complete beginner, I was looking to sell my first product on Amazon, I wouldn't worry about all that yet, okay? Like, that's definitely like a little bit like of a higher level strategy. And I think a lot of times like beginners can like get stuck with like paralysis analysis, right? Like, I don't know if I should sell this because like the seasonality kind of dips in July or whatever. Like that's getting kind of complicated. Like if you don't have your first product on Amazon yet, I'd say like just start by just trying to find your first product and just get it up there and you can learn the rest later. If you already have your products on there and you're trying to figure out forecasting, then that is a good idea. So two good sources are Google Trends and the other one is Keepa. So Keepa has a really nice database that's free of how sales rank has trended over the past, like a lot of products have like 2 years of data. So it's pretty solid. So you can look at that and see how the sales rank has trended through the months or seasons, as well as Google Trends. And you can try to start estimating how well your product's going to sell. I think a little, on some products, I think it's like a little bit like kind of like common sense. Let's say if we're selling like a lawn care product, it's like, okay, that makes sense that in the summer months, it's going to do the best. Other products, like to be honest with you, like marshmallow sticks, I don't think I really knew, to be honest with you, like what months would be the best. So that's when like Google Trends or Keepa can really help you out. So yeah, that, and then you can try, okay, it's like, okay, Google Trends says there's about twice as much search volume in the summer months. Let me order a little bit of extra inventory right now because, you know, I'm predicting that sales are going to be higher this summer.
Great. So let's talk about we looked about the demand stuff and you said we want a nice spread between demand and competition, which as you said is quite abstract. So it's nice to put numbers on it. How do you measure competition? And particularly tell me about reviews, I guess, are going to be important, but also what other factors are important?
Absolutely. So reviews are a great indicator of competition. So that's probably like the main thing that we look at. And I'll give you some numbers for that in a second. The other thing to gauge competition is just the quality of your competitors' listings. So if they have a really poor quality listing, you know, like one picture, like this really short, crappy title, then that's going to be someone who's much easier to outrank in the organic search results than is someone who has like really good listing that you think probably converts really well. Okay. So the first thing I look for is how many reviews they have. So older, more mature products that have been consistently selling well are harder to outrank on Amazon. We don't know everything that goes into Amazon search algorithms, but that one's pretty easy to say. Like, if a product's been selling really well on Amazon for a couple years, whatever, that's going to be a harder product to outrank in the organic search results, all right? So a great indicator of how mature a listing is how many reviews it has, because any product naturally on Amazon that sells well after it's been around for a while is going to have a lot of reviews. So the number of reviews is a good indicator of if it's been selling well historically and how long the listing's been around. So because of that, like a product listing with 1,000 reviews is going to be harder to outrank than a product that or a listing that only has like 15 reviews. So again, a rule of thumb, and mind you, this is a rule of thumb that have come up just because I know no one likes the "it depends" answer, is I like in the top 10 results, I like to see 2 or 3, maybe 4 listings that have under 50 reviews. That would signify to me that this is a relatively immature niche, that you know these listings that are relatively young have are ranking well. And because of that, like I can probably, from that you can probably decide that, okay, you'll be able to rank up in some of those top positions and because of that get organic sales, which at the end of the day is what we're all after. So that's a great way to gauge competition.
Okay, so now tell me a little bit about, so you've talked about the number of reviews, which obviously is important in some ways, and it indicates to the general public who's shopping that it's sort of a mature listing, and often it is if they are organic reviews. But tell me about the relationship between the average review and the number of reviews. I mean, I've had some interesting experiences. For example, I had a product that I had up in the States. Presumably these numbers are for the States, right, that you're talking about in the USA.
Yeah. Okay. They could probably be adjusted for the UK. Yeah, I don't have any personal experience selling there.
Okay, that's fair enough. Well, but I mean, this was in the USA. So I had a product which had, I think, 22 reviews. It was something like 4.9 star average review. And I just, to be honest, in the post, we'll talk about launch later, but in the post, you know, terms of service review, what the hell do we do to launch? I just simply put the price low. Cranked up pay-per-click and then brought down pay-per-click and brought the price up over, you know, about a week or two. And with 22 reviews, it was selling, yeah, I don't know how many units a day it was selling, but it was around the equivalent of 900 a month. Now, That's quite interesting to me because quite a few products in that niche had 700 or 800 stars on the front page, at least for some of the main keywords, right? It was a somewhat niche down product. But is that an experience that is a one-off, or is that something that has a relevance? Do you think that the average review can be taken into account of? And if so, how do you sort of make the numbers work? And again, this might not be something for beginners because it might be a bit confusing, but it's something that I've noticed that needs to be looked at.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can chat with you about this stuff all day. So again, I'd say like if you're a complete beginner, you don't have your first product on there yet, I'd say your focus should still just be getting that first product up on Amazon. But let's chat about this a little bit more advanced topic real quick. A few things that I can say for sure about Amazon's organic ranking is they take into account the number one thing is keyword relevancy. So the product has to be relevant to whatever search term people search for. The sales velocity, sure, without a doubt, that probably makes up at least 50% of the sales algorithm. So the ranking algorithm. So that would mean like how many units is product selling a day is this the sales velocity. I'd say another major factor is the conversion rate of your particular listing. Okay. So what goes into your sales velocity and your conversion rate is then tons of things, right? That would be like how good your pictures are, what the price is, how much social proof you have, which comes in the form of reviews, maybe picture reviews. It's also what the average star rating is for your listing, right? All those things go into your conversion rate and your sales velocity. So if you're competing against other listings that have like a poor average star rating, like if their average is 3.5 and your average is 4.5, your product's probably going to have a higher conversion rate than your competitor, even though you have less reviews, right? But in my opinion, like you still have more social proof. I would rather buy a product on Amazon that has 22 reviews that averages 4.5 stars than the one who has 3,000 reviews, but it has like 3.5 stars, right? You know, personally, I would rather get the one that has a higher star rating. So that's definitely goes into into your conversion rate when actual natural shoppers are on there. Does that answer your question a little bit? Like, so ranking is going to depend on a lot more things, but you know, like if we're starting out, if we're just looking for our first product, that gets like a lot to kind of like take in to choose that first product.
Great. Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, I'm also conscious that we've got different people listening to the podcast and watching the videos these days, that some people are just starting out and some people just get overwhelmed. I think even like I'm some great, you know, guru, but I certainly still get overwhelmed by analysis. So I think it's a very good thing to say, just keep it as simple as you can. The only thing is, every so often something's so striking to me that, you know, I have to kind of take account of that fact. And that was one of the things that struck me there. So I think average review is something that I would take account of when I'm looking at the competition, because it, in my personal experience of selling products, even if it goes down from, say, 4.9 average to 4.6, sometimes the conversion rate seems to halve, which is quite harsh. So it certainly does make a difference.
Yeah, I'll just add something to that real quick. You know, it's like with 4.9 stars, visually Amazon's still showing you like 5 out of 5 stars, like on their little star meter, right? Once you get to 4.7, they only show you 4.5 stars. So all of a sudden, like visually, you know, if you're just looking at it, there's only 4.5 stars instead of 5, which is definitely gonna make a difference on conversion rate. So like you said, when you're gauging competition, you know, I said the easiest thing is just number of reviews. Then the second thing, that would be like the quality of listings. And in the quality of listings, I take into account the average star review, you know, and like how many, the average star review, and then like all those other things I said, the pictures, the quality of the listing, the titles, bullet points, all that jazz.
That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.